Welcome to This Just In, the show bringing you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. And now, for the fastest voice in healthcare, here's your host, Justin Barnes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the special edition of This Just In Radio. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. Today, we're broadcasting live from the HIMSS Annual Conference in Orlando, HIMSS 24, broadcasting from Radio and Podcast Row. Before we get too far, though, let me thank my radio and on-air producers, Greg Masters and Roberta Mullen. Thank you so much, team. Some of this came together at the last minute, and Greg was fantastic, and Roberta is always amazing. It's great to work with you guys always, and this is actually my 10th year straight, as my first broadcast was live from HIMSS 15 in Chicago. So thanks again for helping me keep this streak going. That was a phenomenal event and launched a great annual trend of key thought leaders sharing best practices and strategies to successfully navigate the future of healthcare. So over the next few days, we're bringing you the latest in industry's most sought after CEOs, CIOs, care providers, policy leaders, and visionaries. If you miss any of this episode and broadcast, all my content for This Just In Radio is posted to iTunes, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Google, and on the TuneIn platforms. As many of you know, my goal for broadcasting live each year for the HIMSS annual conference is to create an information medium that shares best practices, strategies, and actionable intelligence from the industry's leading sources and experts. We're also fortunate to have many of these guests as initial members of our health innovation think tank, where we transparently share healthcare and digital health best practices, as well as key strategies. You can find out more about the think tank at healthinnovationthinktank.com. My goal, along with all my guests here, will be to offer tactics and strategies to not only survive, but to thrive. You can even hear that from my good friend Rasu Shrestha, who will talk about surviving and thriving in his upcoming episode. But it's important that we all thrive as we navigate our hospitals, physician practices, our companies, or even your families through all these changes occurring in healthcare. There's more opportunity than ever before for all of us to thrive, but we must understand how healthcare is evolving, how policy and reimbursement is shifting, and where best practices and innovation can support our efforts. I hope you glean all of that over the next few days of broadcasting. That's at least my goal. Thanks again, and off to my next guest. I'm excited to introduce my next guests. It's going to be a great show and great episode here. Tracy Mills, CEO and founder of J29 Inc., and Nick Bass, president of J29 Inc. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Justin.
We're excited to be here.
You got it, and I'm very grateful for not only the time today, but in I can't wait to share what you guys are doing and the generosity. So thank you very much for all of your generosity, you know, from HIMSS to our community here in Orlando, in leading by giving back. So on that note, please share a little bit more on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So J29 is the HIMSS Gives Back sponsor this year. Wherever HIMSS is, HIMSS Gives Back likes to pick a local nonprofit. Mm-hmm. This year it is up Orlando. And that's where a lot of the money that's raised here, or anyone that chooses to donate to HIMSS Gives Back, that's where the money will go.
Excellent. How'd you pick up Orlando?
You know, we look for organizations that are far-reaching, that cover a lot of the area. But also, the last couple of years, HIMSS wanted to find organizations that are far-reaching in terms of their services. So Up Orlando doesn't just focus on one area. A lot of local nonprofits just focus on, you know, food insecurity in the local communities. Yeah. But Up Orlando offers many, many different services, not only to help families who are having difficult times now, but to train them to get ready to be on their own and to be financially stable in the future.
It's excellent. Noble. Love it. And thank you. So where did J29 come from? I got a quick briefing on it. Absolutely love it. But please tell us about J29.
Sure. I appreciate the opportunity. I love talking about J29. J29 is a company that I formed myself about 7 years ago after a nearly 20-year career at the Department of Defense. And I've always wanted to have a truly employee-centric company, a people-centric company. And I love to give back. I'm definitely a philanthropist at heart. And I feel like there's so many good efforts that just sort of go unnoticed. Mm-hmm. So I think that when you empower your employees, when you inspire them, then they in turn will do great things for other people. So that's, you know, J29, it's named after my favorite Bible verse, mm-hmm. which is Jeremiah 29:11. Yep. Some people know it. Some people don't realize they know it. That's the, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord.
Amen.
Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. And, you know, equally important is giving back. At J29, we tithe our earnings to different nonprofits every month. So we like to get to know our employees really well. I spend the majority of my time connecting with them, talking with them, seeing what's near and dear to their hearts so that we can support those things as well.
Fantastic. And again, noble, grateful is something. So we actually, when we're building one of my last companies back in, I guess, probably 2008, 2009, we started to really take philanthropy more seriously. And from a corporate perspective, it was Greenway Medical. And we ended up not only creating a couple clinics called Rafa, we actually called them Rafa clinics in our community, but then looking for a strategy nationally that we could help roll out to really serve underserved communities and be a source for care for them. And so that was a great strategy that we're able to do corporately, but then also we ended up taking the company public and selling that company. And we did that. I took a portion of my earnings and profit sharing from that and actually started an endeavor in Cambodia, where they actually have 26 children, even
That's
to this
amazing.
Day in Cambodia, that all of their clothing, all their food, schooling, actually the rest of their life will take care of, actually all the schooling for the rest of their career will take care of as well through the foundation that we created. So I completely agree with what you do and love what you do and support it wholeheartedly.
Yeah,
so,
that's awesome.
Phenomenal. So has this show been action-packed for you so far? And when did you guys get in town for the show? And then tell me some of the things you've accomplished.
Yep. Well, we got in town Sunday evening. And of course, you know, Hymn's just impressive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you walk through this floor, you see these huge elaborate booths. But for us as a small business, you know, walking through here, we have had the opportunity to meet with people that we've only talked to on the phone. So we've had some great strategy sessions and sit downs with lots of companies that we otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity to.
Excellent. Nick, anything on that?
Yeah. Always a rewarding week coming down to Hims and seeing, you know, what other companies are doing from all, you know, shapes and focus areas in the healthcare marketplace. I mean, for us, an opportunity to connect with current partners, clients, local employees that we have in the area, and get an idea of where companies are going, where they've, you know, hit some hurdles, and kind of get an idea of that strategy perspective. So always a very rewarding week, a lot of action, you know, action items that we take coming out of it.
Yeah, I mean, you got 35,000 of your closest friends here,
yep.
You know, and you can get a lot done all in one ecosystem, all in one, you know, 2-3-4 day stretch, which is obviously exciting and fun. Totally agree. So what progress are you most excited? I like to start my show, you know, with something positive. We always talk about solving problems and complex problems in healthcare. We're full of them. But what progress are you most excited to see occurring in healthcare today, Nick? You know?
Yeah, I could take that one. So elephant in the room with artificial intelligence.
Every guest.
It's certainly the hot topic.
Yeah.
And a lot of companies that are in the healthcare ecosystem are trying to figure out how it's applicable to them.
Yes.
You know, for us, we have to look in the mirror and understand the business use case before we even get into the technical use case.
You got it.
But I think the progress that we're excited to see this year versus last year is companies even taking a step back from implementing AI and focusing on the cybersecurity space.
Mm-hmm.
Because for AI to work efficiently, you need a very large data set.
Yeah.
And for companies that are trying to accelerate at rapid pace, oftentimes you cut costs from cybersecurity.
True.
And, you know, it's very hard to not look in the news and see, you know, recent cybersecurity vulnerabilities
that
some companies are experiencing and for all different problems under the sun. But for us, it's, you know, we have to really be strategic about how quick we're advancing in the technology landscape. And the progress that I've seen some companies make who might have moved too quick, had have had to step back and prioritize cybersecurity and what that looks like for their infrastructure. So very happy to hear and, you know, meet from some partners that are doing that too. Aside from that, even companies that I'll say are focusing more on payment integrity in the healthcare landscape. Unfortunately, in not only healthcare, but every industry, there's bad actors.
Yes.
And when you talk about fraud, waste, and abuse, which is actually an area that we've been specializing
Good.
In more and more,
Good.
It's nice to see companies that are really developing technologies that can find those bad actors, not being reliant on a manual process to do that. So, yeah,
Fantastic.
Very exciting to see.
Yeah, great points. Kind of on a follow-up there, what healthcare or digital health trends are you seeing in the industry?
Yeah, I think for us, a lot of trends for, it could be the use of AI, but even more so advanced analytics around patient care, mm-hmm. getting down to care coordination and quality of care and care models, how technology can have the direct impact to that patient or beneficiary's lifestyle. That, you know, trend mm-hmm. that we've been seeing, I think, is very rewarding, right? I mean, you know, for us, obviously, Tracy had talked about, you know, our philanthropy side and being very, you know, mission-based from that aspect. But the programs that we support, the clients that we support, I mean, they are supporting healthcare populations that are, you know, vulnerable population, elderly population, and seeing companies in this room that are prioritizing the patient care through maybe advanced analytics and other emerging trends, that's very rewarding
yep.
to see.
So specifically the follow-up for J29 Inc., do you work with government? Do you work outside of government? Who's your main target audience?
Yes. So very fortunate to say that we do commercial, mm-hmm. state, and federal work. So we okay. touch all three of those customer bases. For us, we're a very clinical analysis-focused company, policy, and even data analysis-focused company. And what we really do is end-to-end claims processing or medical record review. So we'll do everything from provider integrity, provider enrollment, and provider accreditation services, mm-hmm. all the way to post-payment auditing. Maybe an insurance plan has paid out Dr. Vass, as an example, mm-hmm. and you know, we'll work with them to get into the fraud, waste, and abuse space. So we do a lot of clinical review, could be medical necessity review mm-hmm. on claims that are being paid. It could be policy interpretation, federal, state statutes that are having impact on the commercial organization. So we'll work with them as that kind of consulting party there.
Excellent. And kind of for my last question, a couple minutes here left, thinking beyond today, what do you see as a key strategy or trend that we must be ready to successfully navigate in 3 years from now? Kind of the crystal ball. What do you think?
Yes. So, you know, I'll hit on the business side, I think, where we're focused. And then there's also a corporate culture side that
yep, great.
Tracy wants to touch on. So perfect. For us, you walk down every row in the exhibit hall and you see technologies that are pushing companies to the next landscape. So mm-hmm. I think the scalability aspect, looking 2 to 3 years down the road, companies have to have an understanding of how they're scaling from a hiring standpoint, but yep. also scaling in infrastructure, how they're scaling their technology landscapes to keep up with this rapid pace of advancement that we're hitting on. So that's one thing. I think the other is workforce and employee satisfaction. Certain healthcare organizations are facing staffing crisis, and as technology continues to advance, how is that affecting job roles and employee roles within a company? So 2 to 3 years down the road, as companies are implementing technology, they need to understand how that's affecting their workforce and their hiring needs. And the last thing I'll add on to is the cybersecurity piece, just to drill home on that a lot. It's something at J29 we take very seriously. We handle a lot of PHI and PII. Advancements in technology are great. Putting cybersecurity on the back burner, right. not great.
Not great.
So, right. you know, looking 2 to 3 years down the road, companies need to understand that there's external threats that are very real.
Yep.
You see very large companies and government organizations that are facing that. It's going to happen to small businesses and medium size. So, yeah.
Excellent. Good wisdom there. About a minute left. But yeah, we'll take that on, Tracy.
I mean, you know, the mission of J29 is to empower our employees to do great things for the benefit of others. And to empower our employees, they have to be there. We have an almost 99% employee retention rate. I think companies have to look at the people they have working for them, invest in them, and keep them there. We need a good company culture. And also, I mean, that culture goes back. When you walk around here today and you look at these booths, mm-hmm. you look at making a difference in healthcare. I'd love to see some of these companies make a difference here in the local communities. Imagine if they took a little bit of that money that they've spent in these huge booths and happy
Excellent
hours
point.
And gave back. I mean, it would just be a completely different world. And I think that's where we need to be.
Fantastic. Nick and Tracy, thank you very much for joining the show. God bless you both. Thank you for all you do, not only for this community, HIMSS, but also our industry.
Thank
you.
You
guys are terrific.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So much.
Thank you.
Thanks
you guys have a great
time.
Rest of your show. Thank you.
Very excited to introduce my next guest, a new friend of the show, Casey Pittock, CEO of Smart Meter. Welcome back to the show, or welcome to the show, I should say, Casey.
Thank you, Justin. Great to be here. Thank
we
you.
Met up earlier, so that's what I'm saying. We're welcome back. We've been talking now all day. But it's a true pleasure to meet you in person. Show's been great for you so far?
Fantastic. good level of traffic, great conversations, good people come to the show.
I arrived yesterday and was shocked at how many. I didn't expect Hims to be this large, this quick, but it was a great day yesterday. A lot of good energy. It's kind of old home week. I don't know, how many Hims have you been to?
Oh, my goodness. You see the gray hair.
Well, I'm on 24.
Okay. Yeah, this is probably about a dozen. Got me by a little bit. Yeah.
So it's I got the gray hair, too. I love it. But, in kind of my prep for the show and speaking with some other people in the industry, HIMSS is what you make it. And this annual – and a lot of these conferences are, but HIMSS specifically, annual conference, everybody's going to be here, a lot of technology innovation. You can accomplish whatever your goal is, whatever your goals are. You can absolutely accomplish them at HIMSS. So,
we find this to be, of all the health technology oriented shows, this is by far the best for our business. As a foundational supplier of data and devices to this whole industry for remote patient monitoring and connected healthcare, this is a winner. Yep. You know, this is a winner for us.
Absolutely. Fantastic. So, I like to start off my show with something positive. So what progress are you most excited to see evolving or occurring in healthcare today?
So I thought about that carefully, and I think it's that the industry and providers in particular are embracing this change that's going on with healthcare. And the awareness level of, in particular, connected health is the broad term I use, which is all this technology stuff we see around us today. The ability to understand it, to really try it, that's what's changed immensely, I would say, in the past few years. Certainly COVID impacted that in a big degree.
Absolutely.
But I think the number one progress, if I would call it that, is awareness overall.
Love it. Love it. So what healthcare or digital health trends are you seeing in the industry today?
So I think it's... not being afraid of data, which again sounds kind of techie.
Yeah.
But I think whether it's a provider.
Well, the whys are not being afraid of data for sure. You're right. That's great wisdom. Absolutely.
And I say that because, you know, the patient at the end of this, which is the key to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They know there's data flowing, but they don't know what that means yet.
Right. You
know, that's kind of my perspective, having been at this for 3 decades now. They don't get it. They're a little bit leery of what's happening with that data. But in general, it's about the providers now saying, okay, there's tons of data out there. How do I filter it? How do I get into a platform that helps me make sense of it?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the EHR companies have helped with this. Yeah. They're getting into it and starting to put out modules that help in a significant way. The reimbursement environment that surrounds all things data within healthcare has changed immensely. So I think all that has really transformed the ability for all different parts of the healthcare ecosystem to embrace what's happening with data.
It's fantastic. I love it. So what would be a couple of two or three best practices to help people navigate those trends? I mean, obviously, data, it's a big term. So where would somebody start, or how do you suggest they enable that or to participate?
Very good question. You know, it's so hard because, number one, it has to be cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
Again, kind of a high level concept, but, you know, if I look back 15 years, a lot of these things that are out today that are very commonplace were very expensive 15 years ago. Today, they're affordable. I think whether it's a connected device in the home, a blood pressure cuff is a simple example.
Yep.
Those used to be medical grade only. You couldn't really buy them at the store 15, 20 years ago. Now they're ubiquitous.
Right.
Well, now they're connected, right? Yeah. And they're affordable. So, you know, we distribute.
Certainly through Smart Meter.
For Smart Meter, exactly.
Certainly through Smart Meter. You have a great customer base. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So we distribute through a customer base that needs to have the ability to go out to providers and physician practices in particular and help them be successful. The reimbursement environment is good.
Yep.
Okay. But if the product and the data is not affordable,
right,
it's not going to work.
That's a great point.
So that's a big one.
Yep.
The second one I would say is the patient engagement component.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I walked around the HIMSS conference a little bit today. A number of companies are talking about patient engagement.
Yes.
It's real. I mean, it has to be real.
Yeah.
The artificial intelligence, AI boom that's happening, I'm a little skeptical, right? And I come out of the world of healthcare as a high-touch environment. It's a human-to-human interaction. That will change over time. And I think generationally, younger consumers, younger patients are going to be a little more comfortable with it for sure than certainly the Medicare folks that are using a lot of the technologies today.
Right.
But I think patient engagement is another key part to truly understand it and think about that patient experience. Yeah. And I think the third one, if I could add one
more. Yeah, absolutely. Please.
Yeah. I think it's, again, it's a little techy, but the API integrations, the ability to have data integrate from whatever the source is, whether it's a smartphone or it's a cellular connected device, whatever that is, there has to be a really rock solid API between companies. Now, the patient doesn't need to know any of that.
Right.
They want everything seamless, right?
That's right.
So
they deserve that too. Yes.
Yeah. As long as we as the you know, developers of these innovations get that and keep that in the forefront of our head,
yes,
it all works.
Yeah. I've actually leveraged my platform and influence in the industry to kind of call that out and basically put that on our shoulders as an industry to develop. The patients deserve it. We can do it. And we need to do it. So I love the fact that you brought up, and I literally just left. And I'll give them kudos. I brag on Athena Health because Athena does a great job with they enable a lot of innovation because they open up the most robust API that I'm aware of in the EHR industry. And I'm founders of one of the biggest EHRs initially. But, you know, working with Athena, I give them kudos because they enable so much innovation because you can play around in their sandbox. You can leverage their expertise in integration to better your platform. And then you have access to a very large customer base, you know, and it's a great starting point for a lot of innovators. And so I challenge all of us to open up our systems and create really robust APIs to enable data to flow, to unleash data. And ironically, one of my next guests is Anish Chopra, who kind of created that unleashing data for everywhere. But I'm a strong proponent of that. So you
mentioned Athena. We actually have a relationship with eClinicalWorks. Similar. They have a similar mindset. And they've actually built an RPM module within their platform.
Yes.
And, you know, again, for us at Smart Meter, because our data and devices flows directly through our private data network into their platform, well, they're very excited about that.
That's awesome.
But it doesn't happen without that. You know, very, very robust, but simple API.
Right.
That's
right.
Where it all starts. Yeah.
Absolutely. Very true. Thinking about, you know, tomorrow and certainly beyond today, what do you think we need to be looking out for to successfully navigate, you know, in 3 years from now? So what key strategy or trend should we be thinking about on the horizon?
So I'll give kind of the techie, nerdy answer. And I think it's around health data security.
Okay.
Now,
fair. That's fair.
That may sound, I don't know if that sounds odd or not.
No, I believe it because, well, look what's happening. I mean, yeah,
exactly.
I'm with you 100%.
Okay, you look at the change healthcare situation
Absolutely.
And so on. But so as the consumer, as the patient consumer becomes more aware of their own data and how when they go to the doctor and sit there and the doctor's looking at an EHR screen and is interviewing them and they're looking at a screen most of the time, which is starting to change a little bit. The docs realize, wait a minute, I got to look at the patient, not the screen. So I think that's starting to shift a little bit,
which is
good.
Yep.
But as the patient experiences that, they know, wow, this is my data that is being exposed here. I want to know that my data is protected, that it's secure, that it's safe.
Absolutely.
That's going to become a bigger and bigger deal. And there's a little bit of publicity around it. I don't think there's nearly enough about it. And I think it's going to be a huge factor. The patient experience tied into that hinges on the patient knowing that their data is safe.
Absolutely.
You know, I talk to our team talks about this all the time. We built multiple layers of encryption into our network just to make sure that we can make it as secure as we possibly can. Then there's uptime, right? You want to have uptime in your platform, whatever it is. So we've been lucky to have that for 6 years now, 100% uptime. Don't want to jinx us.
Right.
But so it's a very robust platform, very secure platform. I think patients 3 years from now, if it's not secure and they don't get it, they're going to shy away and they're going to kind of put they'll slow down the adoption of all these amazing tools that are out there because they'll say, okay, if you're taking my blood pressure from my home and that data is feeding into some platform, and my insurance company is adjusting rates because they're seeing that. I don't want them necessarily see that information.
Right.
So things like that could be, I think, is a big deal.
No, it's very fair. It's actually a great point. And I think we don't talk about it as much because a lot of people are afraid of it. We also don't know if there's some, you know, we talk about things that we have solutions for. When we don't necessarily have all the solutions or all the answers, we don't necessarily bring them up. But I totally agree with you. I think that's actually, and people have not mentioned security as their leading item? Because listen, my, you know, we're on in the AI side. And I think the only thing I'd say when you brought up AI, because John Halamka was my first guest today, we're always going to need doctors. We're always that visit is not going to, you know, change dramatically. I think you're going to see care, you know, obviously we're going to use some technologies that with AI behind it to offer up, you know, thoughts and maybe, medical opinions. But what we are going to have as a mainstream is doctors are going to have access to more informed information and make better informed care decisions based on millions of data points where they don't have today, because AI will bring all that up to us. So they can, you know, we can slice and dice information at, you know, million times the speed that we can today because of AI in the future. And so when a doctor, you know, basically will serve up information on a screen, it's still going to be served up, you know, in the care setting by a doctor. Now, again, there's a lot of care settings and things out there where, you know, you're talking to a machine and it gives you back a diagnosis. That, I'm, you know, that's here or there, and we'll see how that all works out. We're still going to have nurses, bedside, in your home, remote care, all done. But I think the underlying information that you're going to be, that's be served up by, you know, shared by the doctor, or at least the expertise by the doctor, is going to be informed by really good AI. And I think that's the part where we see,
agreed,
yeah, that care strategy evolving, in a real positive way. Now, I don't want, you know, just an AI machine to tell me my, give me my diagnosis, anything like that. I still want a doctor, and I want all that to be filtered.
Right,
But I think that what we're going to really do, have healthcare hyperspeeded through that type of innovation.
And again, just circling back to again, our view, if it's not secure,
right,
that whole thing collapses.
Very true.
Oh, you know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Right? So. And uniquely, I mean, I guess one sec, you know, I got a minute or so. So smart meter unique, you run through the cellular network. You're not necessarily running through Wi-Fi networks, right? So
correct.
So where you can, your security is a whole other level for you too then.
You got it.
Yeah.
We are point-to-point secure solution. So yep. There's no public internet. There's no Wi-Fi, no Bluetooth,
right.
No hub.
Yeah.
This literally is from a device straight to the cell tower,
right,
into AT&T's
yep.
network through yep. our private network we built with AT&T and Cisco.
Right.
This
yep.
thing is hyper right. robust.
Yeah, yeah, and that's yeah. where another whole lot, several layers of security, different than everybody else too.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, I know there's one of my, I'm very close friends with the company Cure4U. I think you guys work with Cure4U?
Yes.
Yeah. So yep. I learned through that process a couple years ago that you guys, you know, really cool innovation that you guys have, and as you continue to build and do great work out there. It's
thank you. We try to keep it simple for the patient, but robust for the customer.
Amen. Love it. Casey, thank you for joining us today. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Justin.
You got it. Have a great rest of your show.